Amen. Be still and know. Amen. Amen. I want you to this week to pray for Larry and Joan Crone. The death of Larry's mom is Mildred Crone. Her services were held on Wednesday, and she was a saved lady, 96 years old, and so it was, you know, it's always hard, but still a sweet home going, and so that's good. And sympathies also to Doug and Kelly and Hannah Stellbaker, Miss Joan Coleman, is Doug's mom. Death of the grandmother, mother, Joyce Myers, and then a graveside service was also held this week. So you pray for them. I know they appreciate that. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20, if you will. Exodus chapter 20. Some of you, by now, some of your Bibles fall open to this page. This is a, you know, it's interesting, this is not the first time it happened. I don't do it this way, but it seems like I turned on the radio, and this guy was talking about the Ten Commandments. This guy over here was, it was just funny how that is. Anyway, we started out with Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then, not before, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We live in a society where a lot of folks say, well, you know, this God thing isn't working, this church thing isn't working. And I think somehow they think they're going to walk in here, and sometime, maybe by osmosis, or God's going to look down and say, pat you on the head, and say, well, you were pretty good, you suffered through the preacher's sermon this week, we'll give you a little break this week. Or somehow he's going to push some buttons and everything's going to be just fine and dandy and won't be any problem. I think there's some people who think, well, if I become a Christian, everything's supposed to be fine and dandy and I'm supposed to have problems, and that's not true either. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we're going to have problems. Many are the affliction. There's the word, thank you, Mr. Jerry. The affliction of the righteous. But the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. The godly shall suffer persecution. All that live godly are going to suffer. So there's always problems. But the fact is, God doesn't put those problems in there to stop us. God puts the problems in there, the issues and all those things, to show himself. But if we don't let him show himself, we're not going to see him work. We have, Brother Nathan was doing our Sunday school class this morning here, and the thing is, he was back in the doctrine of sin and started with, the fact is we have a free will. We have a free will. We got to decide whether we're going to follow God or whether or not. Choose life, choose death. Today it is. I offer both of them. But if I were you, I'd choose life is what God says. And so we ought to choose life. He is life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came and in him was the light. And the light was the life of men. The life was the light of men. So we have an opportunity to choose what God is going to do in our life. And part of that, when we have this book of the law, which, by the way, when they wrote that, it was the Ten Commandments, and then some applications of that. We'll see a few of those here this morning. He says, this book of law shall not depart out of the mouth. I want you to think about it, think about it, think about it, think about it, think about it. It's what you do. Listen, before you make a decision, okay, does it line up with the law of God? If it doesn't line up with the law of God, then I don't do it. If it lines up with the law of God, then that's what I'm going to do. This book of law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Think about it. Day and night. In other words, it's not like you're, hold on. No, it's just who you are. It's not who you are on Sunday. It's not just who you are when you get home to the house. It's who you are when you're out in the workplace. It's who you are when you go down the street here and somebody cuts you off. It's who you are when you're trying to get somewhere and for some reason they decide to go 15 miles an hour. Oh, I tell you, that's one of those. It's who you are because of that. The book is right there at the tip of your tongue. It's right who you are all the time. It shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou mayest observe, to watch, to hedge, to make a point of, to attend to. You're going to observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So this is just not good business. There's some things we're talking about today. You're going to think, well, this is just not good business. Who is it that has the power to give you wealth? That's the Lord. You may think you're going in the opposite direction to get anywhere. Many times when the Lord says, go up, we think we ought to be going down. Sometimes it says go down, we think we ought to be going up. Doesn't make sense. Oh, but it makes sense when you realize who's in control. God is still the creator, the controller. He is the Lord of all. And if he says this is the way you do it, many times this is the way you're going to do it because it doesn't make sense. Because what's he trying to do? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That's what he's looking for. Now, we've talked about this, and then we come to the Ten Commandments, and we come to verse number 15, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15, says, thou shalt not steal. You say, well, what doesn't have anything to do with what you said? Oh, but it does. It has a lot to do. In fact, you might be surprised how much it has to do with our daily walk. Because there's a lot of things in here that we don't say, well, that's just good business. Well, that's not stealing. Well, that's just this. Well, no, it's just sin. When we get ready to look at something, we get ready to take something, we get ready to give back we get too much change back. You say, well, they're not going to miss it. No, but God is. And you say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is he wants you to realize that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Listen, it's not worth 50 cents to be out of sorts with him. He's my God, my provider, my protector, my provision. I don't want to be on the wrong side of my provider for 50 cents. Don't sell yourself down the river for a bowl of soup like old Esau did. Don't give yourself away. Let's pray. Thou shalt not steal. Pretty plain. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the truths that are in it. Lord, help me today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move. Lord, help us to see ourselves. May the word of God be the mirror in which we look, and help us not to walk away being forgetful hearers, but doers of your word. Not forget what we've seen, but see ourselves for who we are. Lord, I want to see our folks mount up with wings and wait upon the Lord to do what you've asked them to do, to show yourself great and mighty. And Lord, may I be encouragement today for them just to go ahead. Even when the rest of the world is going down another path, Lord, may we just go back in that little footpath, it might not seem very well traveled, but Lord, that's where the blessings are. Give us your wisdom, your insight. May we not turn to the left or to the right, but look straight on to the author and finisher of our faith. We give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Stealing is something that is so commonplace today that I think we have a difficulty recognizing it when we see it. I think many people do not see it as sin. Now, the fact is, well, you run up to I heard about the Turkey Hill down here. The guy came in with a gun or came with a knife and he stole so much. And, you know, be honest with you, we have a lot of that around this area. And that's all wrong. I mean, there's a lot of that in this area. I think drugs has an awful lot to do with it. And why are we trying to start to grow marijuana around here? I don't understand it for my life. And why did our governor think we had to have more places to make alcohol more available? I don't understand that stuff. And people that drink alcohol, they lose their job, and they go out and rob somebody so they can make ends meet. I don't understand all this, but the fact is, that's all true, and I understand it. But you know what? I'm not sure we got any armed robbers in our presence here this morning. Maybe we do. If you do, stop it! But the fact is, we probably don't. But there are some things that maybe we need to look at. You know, I don't want to just survive life. I want to thrive. I want to see God's blessing. I want to see him work in ways that only he can do. And I have. I've seen him do things in my life. Not because Sterling Walsh is anything special. Sterling Walsh is a sinner saved by grace. That's all he is. But But God is an amazing God with mercy that endures forever. His grace is always sufficient, and he casts our sins. He forgets them, and when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we get to start new because his mercies are new every morning. It's a wonderful thing. We can walk out here with a brand new life today. Everything can be different. I think, though, when you come to things like this, people seem to play with the terms, play with the definitions. God calls this stealing, and some call it looking out for yourself. Some people call it good business, but God still calls it sin. Number one, a couple statements here this morning. You ready for this? This is deep. Thou shalt not steal. You know, I got ready to do this message. Just kind of think, well, what do you say? He said it right there. What are we missing? Why do we have to argue with it? Because we're sinners, and we kind of connive and kind of think around, and we kind of dance around this little thing. We got a loophole over here. Well, at least we think we do. The word steal means thievery. To deceitfully take, unlawful taking. If it's not yours, keep your grimy fingers off of it. Unless somebody has given you permission, someone's given you authority, or really is yours, leave it alone. Well, I don't see anybody else around here. Finders, keepers. We teach kids that. Well, finders need to go find the owner. That's what we're supposed to do. In fact, the Bible teaches that. Listen, if somebody's animal gets out of the fence and ends up over in your field, you know what you're supposed to do? Take the thing back. It's the right thing to do. Finders find the owner. Now, let me give you a little application. Turn over a couple pages to Exodus chapter 22. I mentioned this real briefly a minute or so ago. We have the Ten Commandments, and then we have all this law. Now, some of the law is ceremonial, and it was for the Jewish people to teach us some things, to give some pictures of salvation that is to come, and so forth and so on, and it's for them. We don't have, you know, in fact, he told Peter, you can take and eat. Thank goodness for that. I need bacon on my BL. Well, it would just be an LT, wouldn't it? Got to have, you know, I'm glad that there's some of that was that. But there are some things that are application of the Ten Commandments. And that's what we have here. Exodus chapter 22, verse number 1, says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Now, we can stop right there and say, I don't think he's real crazy about people stealing other people's goods. Verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. That word, that phrase breaking up really means you catch him breaking in. You catch him in the act. He's breaking up the house to get into the house to get what he wants. So if you catch the guy in the act and you hit him and he dies, he was where he shouldn't have been. That's what it says. It's okay to have a baseball bat on your bed. It's okay to carry. We got folks, I've got a few folks in here who carry, and I've had a few folks who were concerned because they said they carry to church. They do that for me. Some of them do it for me. Why they do that? Because you don't know who's going to walk through that door. You just don't. I know a preacher friend who ended up making his pulpit had bulletproof glass in behind it, so if it started shooting, he'd get down behind it. Why is that? Because I don't believe everything that Donald Trump does. It's a mess, I understand. But there's some things he's doing and everybody's getting all up in arms about. I mean, they're all upset because he's not paying for other nations to commit infanticide. He took the money away from their abortions. We're not paying for them to kill their babies. Why are we? And he said, "You're not going to pay our folks around here to kill the babies." Don't listen. Don't get me. So, well, you've never been in that position. I understand, but thou shalt not kill. You go back and get the. Now, if you did it, and God forgives, I'm not mad at you. That's between you and God. God forgives. But it's still wrong. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Thou shalt not kill. If a man steal an ox or a sheep, verse 1 of chapter 22, and sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. And if the thief be found breaking up and be smitten and die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the son, in other words, don't kill the guy who killed him. Should have been there. Verse 3, if the son be risen upon him, there shall, in other words, he lives. You smack him around, but he lives till the morning. The son be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he shall make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If he makes it through the night, he's still responsible to pay that back. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Listen, you don't just get to give back and call it even. Well, I'm sorry, you caught me. Here it is. No, you give him another one. Pay it back. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put his beast and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. So the guy says, well, I got a pretty little crop over there. I don't want my cows out there. I'll just kind of take a couple pieces of the fence down and my neighbor's place and let the cow. Oh, did they go over there? Well, there you go. You know how animals are. Aren't they rascals? Okay, well, that's fine. But you're going to pay for it. You see, there's little things that we talk about. You know, and we say, well, that's not really. No, it's robbing. It's stealing. Verse 6, if fire break out and catch in thorns so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. I didn't even mean it. That doesn't matter whether you meant it. That person's out and it's your fault. Make it good. Make it good. God, for instance, here, watch by the way, we talk about stealing. God teaches the concept of ownership. Not communism. He teaches the concept of ownership. You can't steal that which you don't own, or what they don't own. If it's everybody owns the same thing, then I can take whatever you have because it's just as much mine as it is yours. There's ownership. God teaches that. Do you realize that God teaches the free enterprise system? He really does. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. He says, be honest about it. Buy and sell. That's all fine and dandy. Where do you think they're getting the first increase to tithe on? This is free enterprise system. That's what our country was built. This is not on there. It wasn't supposed to be a political message here. But that's where we are, and we're so frustrated, and we're getting pulled off to the side into stuff that we shouldn't have ever gone. Look up. So stealing can only occur if someone else owns it. Look at verse 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges, see whether he has put his hand to his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox or for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between the both that he hath not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make a good, talking about all the things you got to do. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. So that wasn't his fault. So listen, God, just the application here. God doesn't look kindly on stealing. Your responsibility of someone else's goods. Let me say something else here. I know that sometimes we steal because out of lust to have. But I think an awful lot of folks just plain steal because they don't think God can provide their needs. I can't have what I want or what I need, so I'm going to take it. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If you have to steal, then apparently Jehovah's not your God. We talked about this. We should have no other gods. God is the one who provides, protects, gives us the philosophy of life. He's our God. And where you're going to get those things is your God. That's who you're trusting. Some people trust themselves and become their own gods. Some people trust government, and government becomes their God. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord Jehovah, God of all the universe, creator. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. If you don't have everything you need, then you got the wrong God. Or you're not letting him be God. Do you let him be God in your life? Sometimes he lets us come up short, so we have to go back flat on our backs. We have no place to look but up and realize, oh, yeah, forgot about you, didn't I, God? Yeah. Matthew 6:31, you know, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Because folks will give an excuse why I have to steal, I've got to do this, or I gotta fudge on my taxes, or it's okay to take food stamps even though I really don't deserve them, and it's okay if I do this or do this, but it's okay if I do that because I don't have what I need. Well, take no thought for what you need, what you're going to drink, wherewithal shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God's not dumb. God's not selfish. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, verse 33, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. God will provide if we're willing to let him be God. Psalm 37:25. I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Just do right. And some of listen, there's some things we say, well, this isn't necessarily wrong. You know, it's not wrong to eat a candy bar. But if you're spending your lunch money on candy bar and then you're hungry because you don't have any lunch, it's your fault. Too many people spend their money, their lunch money, on bubble gum. I'm not trying to be mean here, but if you're having trouble making ends meet, then maybe you need to get rid of the cigarettes, $5, $6 a pack or whatever they are now. How hungry are you? Maybe you need to leave that six-pack on the shelf and not take it home. Maybe you ought to drink water instead of Mountain Dew. I'm just saying sometimes we complain because we don't have what we want, and we somehow make excuses to take what we want, and it's God's fault because he didn't provide. Be content with what you have. I'm still under number one here. Don't steal. Be content with what you have. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." It's wanting what everybody else has, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. "And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let your moderation be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. If you've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, but we're begging bread, then maybe we might want to see if we can be placed underneath the category of righteous. Are we living the way God wants us to do? Or are we squandering what he has given us? Or is he resisting the proud? He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Is God resisting you? I'm not trying to be mean here. I don't want to be obligated or subject or waiting for someone else to provide my needs if I don't have to. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let me read it again. And having food and raiment and a 60-inch flat screen and a Wii and a PS4, I don't know. We don't have one of those. My wife and I have never had cable TV except for 3 months when we first moved up here, because there was still 3 months left on the contract in the house that was there when they sold it and we had cable TV. Now, you have cable TV, that's fine, it's your business. It's your business. But we don't spend money on cable TV. I've had people say, well, you all just have everything you want. And you know what? I've never spent any money on a cigarette. I've never spent any money on booze. I've never lost any money at the gambling casino. I've never wasted money. I mean, just be honest with you, we didn't do a whole lot of vacationing when we were kids. You know what our vacation was? Sword conference. That's what we did. We pack up all the kids, and I go down, and I'd lead singing, and Dr. Smith and the Sword of the Lord would pay for our vacation because he paid me to come down and lead singing and hear preaching. And our kids, we get in the car, and we head back up, and I remember how many times saying, well, it's only a year until we get to come back. I don't think we're any the worse for it. Take a walk down the creek and go fishing with your kid if you want a vacation. You don't have to go clear across halfway across the country and do it in somebody else's creek who doesn't go down there because they go up over here to, you know, the Catskills to go fishing. But watch this. And having food and raiment, let him be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. This is 1 Timothy 6:9. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say money, said the love of it. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He says, that's what you need. We're all upset because we don't have this, we don't have that, don't have this, don't have that. And when it's all said and done, we have nothing. We really don't. Thou shalt not steal. Don't get a bunch of stuff you don't need. Number two, this is going to sound funny, but stealing is stealing. Stealing is stealing. Proverbs 6:30 says this, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. He says, you know what? Somebody stole some stuff, but the fact is I think they're just plain hungry. That wasn't right. But you know what? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I don't need to drag the guy, you know, and make a whole bunch of stink. He said, well, it's right. All right, it's right. But the guy's just plain hungry. Give him a break. He shouldn't have done it, but don't mess with him. But you know what? If he is found, everybody knows who he did it. You can't just let him off, because then you're telling everybody to go steal anytime they want. You see what I'm saying? Don't go hunting the guy down like a dog. But if he's wrong, then he needs to make restitution. Balanced life. We don't know how to balance our life. Stealing is stealing. Well, you know, okay, well, he was hungry. I know, but he still stole. Don't go looking for him, but he still stole. Now, the next verse says, but whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Don't try to steal your neighbor's wife. Now, I'm going to say something else. And you young kids, when you're looking for somebody to get married to, find somebody with character, watch this. If a man could steal my wife away from me, then I never had her. I didn't have her heart. I'm not going to punch him in the face. I'm going to yell at her. No, I'm just... I had some gals I dated in high school, and aren't you upset he stole your girl? He didn't steal. I didn't have her, apparently. And if she can walk off that quick, I don't want her. I don't want her. You can have her. She's too fat. No, that's an old one. Oh, I'm sorry. Woo! Listen, stealing is stealing. Stealing bread because of hunger is not good, but it is a crime. Don't go looking for the man. On the other hand, if the thief is found out, he needs to make retribution for the crime. He needs to make sure it's paid in full. Sevenfold, paid in full. Stealing is stealing. Number three, taking unfair advantage of people in difficult situations, God calls it robbery. Proverbs 22:22. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their case and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. You're not going to get ahead by taking undue advantage of somebody who's down. You know, well, okay, you don't have any money, so I guess I'm going to have to do you a big favor. I guess, okay, kind of bringing a rock in a hard place, aren't you? I guess I'm the only one that can help you out. You ever watch the old movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Potter, there you go. Down and out, let's see what we can get out of this thing. Number four, unfair employment practices. Unfair employment practices. Proverbs 20:14 says, watch this. I said unfair employment, unfair business practice. Let's say that, unfair business practice. We'll get to employment here in a second. Underneath that, deceitful bargaining practices. Proverbs 20:14 says this, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he's gone his way, then he boasteth. I don't think that thing's worth more than $2. Don't come and do worth more than $2. That's what you think that is? Oh, come on. I could go down here in the street and buy five of them for as much as you want for that one. Oh, okay. All right, well, I'll take it off your hands for you here. Boy, did you see the deal I got on that one? You know, unfair business practices. Oh, there's nothing to it. No big deal. We came in contact with a couple of those guys when we were dealing with Dad's antique cars and kind of dispersing things. Oh, it's not worth it. Look what we got. A little bit of it. How about taking, undue advantage. Undue advantage. Matthew 21:12 says, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, some people say it's wrong. I'm not going to be upset. Some people have gotten upset with me because we sell King James Bibles out here in the lobby. The reason why we do is because it's hard to find sometimes. Now, actually, be honest with you, the Lifeway store, which is Southern Baptist over on the east side, actually have started selling a good many of them over there. Now, don't go looking at some of those other shiny Bibles that were from the funny manuscripts. But they actually are starting to sell them. But we keep some, the good deal. I find them here and there, and it's half the price. And some people are upset because because we're buying and selling in a church. And that's not what he was upset about. Verse 13 says, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. I tell you why it was a den of thieves. They decided that you can only have certain money to use at the temple. So then there's an exchange rate. You've got to have what we call like certified unblemished sheep before you offer. I don't know what that thing is you've got. Looks like that thing's on its last leg. Probably sick all the way over here, wasn't it? No, I think what you got to do is have one that's good. So I'll tell you, we'll trade that one in, and we'll let you have this one, but it's only going to cost you twice as much as that one really did. And then they bring this one in, they bring it back into, then they bring it back out and say, all right, that one doesn't go work. Here's the one that you need. I don't know what all was going on, but the fact is there was some funny business going on. And he said, you know what? You're trying to make a profit, making merchandise out of the things of God. We're not going to have it. How about this? Unequal measurements. The old adage, put your thumb on the scale. You know, you're supposed to give the guy one quart, but it's just shy of one quart. But you know what? You do that now and again and again. After a while, you got another whole quart to sell. That's why they go around and they have these little stickers on the gas pumps. They go around and make sure that you're getting a gallon for a gallon price. Because all they need to do is take it off by a tenth. Even a little less of that. And oh, how many gallons go out of that thing? Before long, they're making a little extra profit on this thing. They're doing all right. God doesn't work that way. He shakes it down, presses it together till it's running over. You've heard me tell the story. We had the Simmons ice cream store right out there back road where you used to live, down in Maryland. And you go to there and they had homemade ice cream. I'm not sure. It didn't taste like anybody else's, but it was good. I liked it. It was just different than anybody else's ice cream. Simmons ice cream store, and they had a ball field back there, and everybody, all the church teams would go out there and have their ball leagues. And if you want to take a quart home, he'd get that little box out there, and he'd hand scoop that thing. And he'd put it down there, and he'd push it down there, and he'd get another one. He'd put it down there, and he'd put it down there, and he'd push it and push it and push it and push it. And it had little lids on there, kind of like a Chinese to-go box. But he just rounded it up like that. And then he put a piece of wax paper over there and wrap it up in newspaper. And you take that thing home. You got a quart and a half. Leviticus 19:34 says this, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, just ephah, and just a hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods. See, that all goes with it. Which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. Well, the guy's just passing through town. He won't figure out he got shortchanged and he's 20 miles down the road. He won't come back by that time. It won't matter. It's not like I got to face him tomorrow morning. Anything breezing through your brain right about now? Listen, a lot of little things, little loopholes. Deuteronomy 25:13 says, thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights. A great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You go around cheating each other, God's going to kick the whole bunch of us out. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord thy God. If it's a fair price, give the guy a fair price. Don't go pumping up the price just because you don't know the guy. Is it a fair price? But don't go trying to get him to go down his price if it's a fair price. Oh, it's not, it's nothing. I've never been to Israel, but they say that if you go to the little shops, they love to bargain with you. That's just the way it is. They bargain and bargain and bargain. It's almost an insult if you don't bargain. Fact is, if it's a fair price, we ought to pay. If it's not a fair price, I was 18 years old. We went to Tijuana, Mexico on a family trip. And my dad was always kind of a sucker for lamps and things like that. It looked antique, and he liked antique cars. And the lamp for sale, $25, lamp for sale, $25. And it went by. Hour later, lamp for sale, $20. $20. Lamb for sale, $20. 45 minutes later, lamb for sale, same things. Lamb for sale, $15, $15, $15. Not going to go any lower than this. Lamb for sale. Hour later, lamb for sale, $10, $10. Come in, I'm honest to goodness. Finally, my dad said, well, can't go much lower than that. He bought a pair of those things. By the time we got back in the car, there was so much shoe polish on that thing. They had done something to give us some kind of patina. It was shoe polish. We had it all over ourselves. I thought they were kind of ugly in the first place. But he saw those things. My dad's usually pretty shrewd about that stuff. Listen, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Proverbs 20:10. Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination of the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. So his works too. Proverbs 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination of the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Stealing. How about this? Withholding fair wages. Leviticus 19:11 says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God, I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud, in other words, offer one thing, give another. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Just be fair about it. Hang on. Number 5. The opposite of stealing is giving. The opposite of stealing is forgiving. Ephesians 4:17 tells us this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Greediness. In other words, to do whatever you have to do to get what you think you want. And if you live like the world, you're going to get what the world gets. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught it by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the concerning the former conversation, the old way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Man tries to justify all kinds of things. They may say that someone owes them, and so it's okay for them to take and even get out of it, and even, you know, take it. Looting is stealing under the cloak of protest. They feel like they can take from the world because the world has not been fair to them, according to their definition. And just because there's plenty of a certain item available doesn't mean that you can take what you want because no one will notice it's gone. Just because there's so much so that what you will take will not be noticed doesn't give you the right to take something. It's still stealing. Supplies from work taken without permission is stealing. Keeping the extra chains that you got by mistake is stealing. A couple years ago, it's been several years ago now, a whole bunch of preachers were over toward Lancaster, and we went over there for lunch, and after lunch, the way the hostels was doing it then, and it still does, you go in, it's a buffet, and then you eat, and then you pay on your way out. Most times when you eat at a buffet, you pay when you go in, and then you can eat whatever you want and leave. Well, I don't know why, but we were talking and chatting. And we hee-hawed with all the preachers and stuff. We got finished eating. We went left and got in the car. And I was 45 minutes away from the place. I didn't pay. I walked right out of there, slick as a button. I mean, it was... I said, I don't want to go back 45 minutes. Another hour and a half, I got to get back. Oh my, what am I going to do? So I came home and got on the internet to figure out which hosses it was, and I called them up. And I said, I walked out the door, and I'm sorry, but I didn't pay for it. Is there any way I can do that was without having to go back over there? You did what? I said, I walked out the door, and I didn't pay, and I went to pay. You want to do what? They were so confused because it never happened before. I said, I can give you a credit card number. If you'll put that in, it'll charge my credit card, and we're all paid up. And it will, oh, I'm going to have to talk to my manager about this. So I went back and said, well, he says we can do it. I said, well, good, let's do it. Was it last week? Last week? Anyway, after lunch, we went down to Chili's. And after Sunday morning service, we went down for Chili's for lunch. And I always get a sweet tea. You can't tell that. But they stopped serving sweet teas at Chili's. And then I saw, and they'll do an Arnold Palmer. And that sounds like an alcoholic drink, but it's not. That's a little bit that I know about. It's half lemonade and half tea. I said, oh, I'll take an Arnold Palmer. Oh, okay. So we had already ordered. And she came back, and we got finished, and I was paying the bill. And she hadn't added the Arnold Palmer to the bill. And I said, hey, miss, come here a second. I said, my Arnold Palmer's not on the bill. No. That's all right. And, well, thank you for telling me. Appreciate you being honest. You know, I don't expect people to be honest these days. You know, you say, thou shalt not steal. Apparently, it's pretty prevalent to the point where we just assume taking your kids' Halloween candy without permission, stealing. Now, we never took our kids out to get Halloween candy anyway. But don't eat them. Don't eat the ears off their bunny rabbit for Easter. You say, we laugh, but you know what? I wonder what we're teaching them. Kids, almost out the door, taking money from mama and your parent without them knowing is stealing. If you take something that's not yours, it's stealing. Almost done. Number six. Almost done. Ready? Honesty is a sign of true salvation. Honesty is a sign of true salvation. If you have done wrong, you need to make it right, if at all possible. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, you don't go to heaven doing this stuff. Doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation if you happen to do it between now and the time you're saved and the time you go to glory. But you don't go to heaven for this stuff. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I don't have time to read it, but I'm going to give you the story real quick. In Luke chapter 19, we see the story of Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. For the Lord he wanted to see. You know that old story, Zacchaeus? He was a publican. He was a tax collector. Known for taking more than he was supposed to. The Lord comes along and says, Zacchaeus, come on down here. I'm going to your place for lunch. Oh, okay, let's go. So they're sitting around there, and apparently they were having some discussion, and apparently he got to know who Jesus was, and he got to, in the middle of all, he kind of got to know who he is. And he stood up there in front of all his guests. He said, you know what? If I've done anything wrong, if I've taken money that's not mine, I'm going to give it back fivefold. Fivefold. I'm going to give it back. And you know what Jesus said? Salvation's come to this house. That I came to seek and to save that which is lost, and salvation has come to this house. Has salvation come to your house? You know, we're not going to get ahead by going against God. Deuteronomy 8 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which we swear unto the fathers as it is this day. Numbers 32:23 said, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, we're almost on tax season. They'll never catch me. I've never been audited. That's what we're going to say. God knows. And that's really the only one that matters. That's the one that really matters. There are many people in our society wanting to live the good life and will do almost anything to have it except what God has simply required. The book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the way it works. Father, again, thank you for meeting with us here this morning. Thank you for doing a work in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we ask you right now to speak to our hearts, whatever it may be. Speak to each heart. Give them what they need. Bring to their remembrance the things they need to attend to. And we'll give you the praise. Our heads are bowed.